Today we're joined by Scott Keller from Menace Podman. Wasn't able to make the show last week, so we've squeezed in a bonus show here. It's time for Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. My name is Adam King. I'm your host. You can find me on Twitter at AdamKing91, bringing in my guest today. I don't need him on mute. Scott Keller from Menace Podman. Scott, how are you going?
Very good, very good. Thanks for having me on.
No, that's all right. Not all of my guests, but a lot of my guests, we've had very little to do with each other to this point. So everything I'm discovering is going to be brand new.
Yes,
all which, brand new. Which will be good. So as I mentioned, you're part of the Menace Podman podcast, and weren't able to get here last week because of kids and life and that sort of thing. So I guess let's start there. What does life look like for you away from fantasy basketball?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I definitely got a family of four here. So I got two boys, two young boys, a four-year-old and a one-year-old. Definitely Ooh. Keep me busy. So that was kind of the reason for missing the last show, as you mentioned there in the introduction. But yeah, no, it's all good. It's great. Live back at a full-time job. Outside of podcasting stuff, so that always makes it a little bit more difficult. So those two things combined can definitely add up and take its toll, but trying to get to the podcast as much as possible.
Yeah, life does tend to get in the way a bit of fantasy basketball, which is unfortunate for all of us, and there's not many of my guests or many of the people that I've sort of spoken with or worked with who are able to do this as a full-time job. There are a couple that are lucky enough, but much like you, I have a full-time job as well and kids. So, although my kids aren't one and four, so they don't demand my attention as much as you. But so I guess your fantasy basketball journey. So how did you get into fantasy sports and more specifically fantasy basketball?
For sure. It's actually kind of interesting. As far as fantasy basketball concerned, I'm probably way more of a novice compared to most people. My co-host Steve is definitely way more versed in fantasy basketball. He's actually the one that kind of steered me that way. It kind of started out. I did the football stuff too. Everybody does fantasy football, it seems. Yeah. Obviously the most popular fantasy sport there. But it kind of like went through phases. That was way back in, high school. I did some hockey and football stuff. And then, kind of 5 years later, kind of switched over to baseball. Baseball was like my main sport after that. Yeah. And really it was about pandemic time in 2020. I had my first son was born actually then in April of 2020. We were watching the NBA in the bubble, and that was the only sports I was getting, and I soaked it all in, and then all of a sudden became completely obsessed with basketball from that point, or NBA basketball to be specific, and it took off from there. So then I started doing some fantasy basketball right about that point. That was about it, and it was all Steve, my co-host, kind of bringing me in. He had some leagues together. He'd get some open spots or whatnot, and they'd be kicking some guy out, and he's like, "You'd be perfect, hop in." So. It all started there.
And so you knew Steve beforehand, or it was basketball that sort of brought you together?
It's kind of a mix, but he's actually married to my cousin. So that's how I met him.
All right.
And that was many, many moons ago. No, I can't even remember now when they actually got married, but it was kind of the first time I met him actually at my cousin's house. I think we were playing like one-on-one or two-on-two in a driveway on a hoop. And he was like, "I got some friends and we hoop like every Wednesday," or it was a once a week thing. He's like, "You should come out, you should come play." And that's where it started. So.
Yeah. It's actually quite a few people that I've spoken with. It was the bubble that either sort of increased, I guess, their engagement in in fantasy basketball and basketball? Because from memory, I mean, it was, as you know, when you have kids, you struggle to remember what happened a week ago. But if I remember back, basketball was sort of the only thing that was happening, wasn't it? Because I think most of the other sports basically shut down.
Yeah, that was it from what I know that was going on. And it was also at that time where we didn't have March Madness and college basketball.
Yeah.
So I was missing out on that because, I mean, everybody loves March Madness and the brackets and stuff. And that kind of replaced it. And I was able to watch, you know, I was able to watch every team, which is, I didn't have any, you know, like the NBA streaming services and things like that. So I wasn't able to watch all the teams. I wasn't able to watch all the players until that time, at least for free. No, NBA League Pass I wasn't paying for at that time.
Yeah,
I got introduced to everybody, and then it was all on from there.
Yeah. And you're in Detroit as well, or near Detroit, or
correct? Yep. Just
close to. Yep.
11 miles outside the city. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So I guess I don't often talk about specific teams, but I did a show with Rhett Bauer yesterday, and we talked about the Pacers because he's a big Pacers fan and he's living back in Indiana. So,
sure. And
I don't think I really touched on the Pistons too much with Steve. Maybe we did a little bit, but what is that? I mean, if you had to say who's my team, would your answer be Detroit, or is it more of you're a neutral fan?
I would say there's two teams that rise above the rest. I would still consider myself a neutral fan because there's no like super fandom toward these two teams, but obviously one would be the home team Pistons. I just have to root for them. And then the other would be the Indiana Pacers, actually, that you just mentioned. Okay. That's just from growing up though. Growing up, I was, I'm shooting threes. I'm a thin guy. So I was always a big fan of Reggie Miller and his game. So I followed him a lot, and so yeah, I probably have a lot of Pacers apparel, but probably pretty even with Pistons. But
yeah, okay, and yeah, look, I mean, Pacers obviously on the rise at the moment. Really good, probably overachieved, I think, if we're being honest, last season or season just gone. Feels weird to say last season, but
I know.
So they're obviously, their trajectory is sort of pointed in the right direction. Pistons, a few question marks, and. Look, I think from an onlooker's perspective and someone who is probably more of a neutral fan, I don't mind what the Pistons have done during the offseason. I think they haven't made any bad moves, which I think is usually we come into the season and why would you do that? Why would you sign this guy? I think they've actually made some nice moves. They've obviously re-signed Cade, which they needed to do, but a new coach. So I mean, do you think that they've finally sort of made some changes at the top there, management, coaching, to allow the team to finally start to look like a competitive team and like they've got a direction?
I think so. As you mentioned, I mean, they didn't make those big off-season free agents kind of almost like wasted deals where it felt like they were just giving money away to one person to be on the team. So at least they've committed to at least some of the youth, maybe not all of the youth on team, but that's to be seen with the, as you mentioned, the new coaching staff and general manager and things like that. So I guess the only thing that hasn't changed is the owner is still Tom Gorse. So I don't know how much impact he has on the team. On our podcast once in a while, unfortunately, I always go back to the Lions and the Detroit Lions football team and the organization and how much of a mess that was. But once the ownership kind of changed, things changed too. So hopefully it's not that. Hopefully ownership's not doing anything to get in the way. But like you said, the moves that they've been making so far are rather encouraging that they're going to turn the corner and hopefully make progress here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I like, as you said, they haven't made any sort of landed any big superstars, but that's highly unlikely at this point, given who they are, where they sit in the standings, that sort of thing. But they picked up Paul Reed, who was basically tossed away by the Sixers. And so I like him coming in. It gives them another option, big man option. They don't have to lean as much on Isaiah Stewart, hopefully. Fontecchio's re-signed. Malik Beasley has come on board. I'm just trying to remember who else they signed and if they picked up any. Was there anyone else? I feel like there was someone else that they.
Yeah, I'm missing one name too. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Just scrolling through. They let go of Wiseman, so there you go. That's a good thing.
Correct. Yep.
And we'll see what he does on the Pacers. So I spoke with Rhett about what Wiseman's role might look like, and he's not convinced that he'll play a big role for them. He thinks that he'll be an option, a backup alongside Isaiah Jackson, but it'll be Jackson's sort of his spot to lose.
I agree completely with that. Yeah, I think he's just going to be at the end of the bench there.
Yeah, so I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I still can't find who. I'm sure there was someone else, and I'm sure there's an easier way than me scrolling through. Anyway, so 2 kids, 4 and 1. Yep. You have a full-time job. So what is it? Because I know Steve's a para-pro. I think that's
correct. Yeah. Para-pro, yeah. Teacher's aid, I think might be synonymous with it, but yeah, he does that.
Yeah. That's, I had to look it up when he mentioned it. Oh, it was before my show. He mentioned it somewhere. I had to Google it. I had to look up what's a para-pro, because that's not a term that we use over here.
Yeah,
but yeah, teacher's aid. Yeah.
But yes, yeah. So yeah, he gets to work different hours than I do. I'm the, you know, the Monday through Friday, 8 to 5-ish, hopefully. if it's a good day. But yeah, I work in Detroit, obviously the Motor City. I work automotive industry supplier, sales operations manager for a company out here. And
it's a big industry there, isn't it? I think from
huge.
Yeah. Yeah. My knowledge of Detroit, I think, as I said to Steve, is the American Pie movies, because they're set near Lake Michigan. I think they go to Ann Arbor. I don't know where that is.
Yes. Yes, they do. Are. Yeah. They have the Earth. Or did they go to Michigan State, I think, or Lansing for a band performance? I can't. Maybe it was U of M, but
yeah,
I'm losing my memory right now.
Yeah, so that's sort of my knowledge of Detroit, and watching the show. What's it? The one about the pawn shop where you can trade stuff. I think it's Hardcore Pawn. It's called
Hardcore Pawn. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So Westfold, I believe, was the guy's name.
Yeah. So we watched that show. I mean, we don't watch it as much anymore. We used to watch it. So. But I do know, yeah, automotive industry is a big one there. So are you able to work from home at all?
I am, actually. Once the pandemic started, I got to work from home. And actually, they sent me home a little bit earlier than everybody else, because my wife was pregnant at the time, right before I had my first kid. So I get a little extra time to to head out. And it never really returned since then. There's, you know, maybe once, like actually this Wednesday, I actually have to go into the office for a meeting, but it's few and far between now. It's kind of a, you know, like once a month type thing that I have to go in, or a sales meeting or something. But yeah, everything else is right at home. I'm able to sneak away at lunchtime sometimes and record a podcast and whatnot. So it doesn't always have to be in the evening. So that's nice. But working from home is huge. It's great.
And it's something you enjoy, I assume.
I love it, actually. The company I work for is actually headquartered out of Austria, in Graz, Austria. So a lot of the people I was always dealing with in meetings, I was just sitting at my desk in the city in Michigan and having a phone call just like this, pretty much, with people. So there wasn't too much benefit for me really being in the office. There's different people I worked with that it was beneficial for, but the position I held and still hold now, a different position now, but still works from home, and it works well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, we don't really want to say that there were many positives out of the pandemic and COVID,
but
one of them was, I think, the flexibility for people to be able to work from home a bit more. And do you find you get more work done at home? I mean, because a lot of people sort of, I guess there's two trains of thought. It's one is that you're at home, so you're not going to do any work. You're just going to watch TV. And then the other one is that because you're not in an office, you're more relaxed, you're comfortable, you can sort of work at, not at your own speed, but you can, if you want to grab a coffee, you just go and grab a coffee.
Oh, yeah.
But you also don't get distracted. That's what I find, is when I'm in the office, people come and find me, and I go and find people as well, whereas when I'm at home, I can just work.
Yeah, I'm way more productive. One, because I'm able to sleep longer because I don't have to commute to work. So that's a huge thing. Just cutting out, it was like a 45 minute drive to work, you know, in and back. And it really just kind of gets to you. So that takes away some time. And then you'd settle in. But, you know, now I can just, I mean, obviously the kids wake me up at different times in the morning and stuff. But, you know, just be able to, like you said, people would walk over to my desk or cube or whatever and just start talking to me about something when you're in the middle of something. This way, I just see the little thing. They're calling me or a message pop up on my screen and I just ignore it if I need to, right? And continue with the task that I'm working on at that time. So yeah, I think I'm a lot more productive. I know it's not perfect for everybody. No. You know, certain people that I work with that I'm like, that person needs to go into the office. Yeah. I can tell they're getting distracted. So
yeah.
But and, for myself, it's great.
And look, I suppose as well, having two, well, you would have had a very young kid when when COVID started or when the pandemic started, and now you have another very, I mean, you've got two young kids, but a 1 year old. Yep. So you're actually around to help a bit more. I would assume your wife appreciates you being home.
Exactly. It kind of goes both ways because sometimes she's always, you know, they almost expect like you're going to be able to help sometimes. You're like, you're working from home. You should be able to just walk. I'm like, nah, it doesn't work like that. I'm usually pretty well stuck. I'm kind of upstairs and at my desk and they're downstairs. Okay. So a little bit of a separation, but yeah. They little things you can definitely help out with and nap times and lunches.
Yeah. And I would assume for the, I mean, my kids, as I said, they're basically 17 and 14 now. So, but I would think that just for your kids, the benefit of just having you around a bit more and whether you're actually, you're not obviously engaging with them all day and sitting with them, but you're there, you're present.
For sure. No, I mean, I appreciate it a lot more. I get so much more time with them. Just being able to see them in the morning, or I mean, they could be sleeping when I was leaving for work normally. Yeah. So, that's different. And the time in the evening is great. I mean, like I mentioned, once in a while, I'll go into work for a meeting and they're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to work. And they're like, it works upstairs. Like, where are you leaving to? They don't they haven't really comprehended it. So
no,
hopefully it never changes because they'd be thrown for a little loop, but
yeah, they would. Yeah. So I guess just sort of wrapping up and we'll just chat for a few minutes about when, and it's hard with kids and with work and with fantasy to find free time, if we want to call it free time, to do other things. I really like movies. I really like TV shows.
Yep.
Is that something you enjoy doing, sort of sitting and watching a movie or a TV show? And if so, genres, favorite shows, favorite movies, anything like that?
Yeah, I would say I probably don't have too much time right now for movies and TVs. I mean, I have some in the past, obviously, that I can mention. I mean, back in the day, movies-wise, like one of my favorites, Boondock Saints, is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. All those type of heist movies that the guys love. Like Snatch with Brad Pitt and
Snatch
Green Street Hooligans, another movie I really enjoy. And then as far as like TV shows and things like that, it's really hard to find one that my wife likes and I like as well. So when you find that one, it's like a gold mine.
Yeah.
And it, to me, Sons of Anarchy was probably that show that we actually both really enjoyed and got to watch together. That was before kids though.
Yeah.
But now at this point, it's kind of whatever the kids are watching, you know. Despicable Me is a great movie. I love all those. Those are hilarious, and you know, Monsters Inc. movies, but they're usually controlling the television. And if not, I'll watch a lot of, like, so for me, the West Coast games are like 10:30 at night, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the kids to bed. My wife might watch some show that she really likes downstairs as she gets ready for bed, and then I'll go upstairs, watch a basketball game or something on the West Coast. So when I get a chance, I'm trying to watch basketball as much as I can. That's pretty much priority, easy, and I want to. So
it's something that I forget, but being here in Australia, games for us are on from sort of 9 in the morning
through
working from home for me it means I don't have the basketball going on my phone sitting on my desk. I can actually have it on the TV while I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, which is good. And I do, like, I do forget that, because I think, like, when you say, oh, I work from home, and to me, I think, oh, that's awesome. You get to watch basketball all day. But, of course, you don't, because there's no basketball on during the day.
Exactly. The only chance I get is, like, a day baseball game over here, you know, during 1 o'clock or something. I can watch those, but.
So, and travel, is that something, it's obviously when you have kids, it's a little bit trickier to travel as much, but is it something that you enjoy, or you and your wife enjoy doing? And if so, any favorite locations that you've been?
Yeah, very much so. Before kids, obviously a lot more travel and a bit further distances. So that was nice.
Yeah.
A few Caribbean cruises. We went actually did a European cruise once, which was a lot of fun. Italy, France, Spain. And then we took a side trip over to Greece, and that's probably my favorite destination. I think both of our favorite destination, Athens, Greece. We were there for 2 or 3 days on one side of the cruise, and then we actually added another day or two on the other side of the cruise. So we liked it so much. But if I could choose one place to go back, that would be the place. But obviously I haven't experienced as much as I'd really like to, but once having kids, it's just more locally within the country for sure. Took a couple trips down to Florida to get them to Disney World and things like that. My dad actually lives down in Florida, so
is that a trip down, I mean, for people in America, they'll be aware, but anyone outside of America, is that a flight or is that a drive from where you are? I know I it can could picture be, geographically where they are, but distance is still.
Yeah, it could be either. Normally, it'd probably be a flight. We usually drive it, though, and just you can cut it into 2 or 3 days if you really wanted to. It's probably nonstop driving is 18 and a half, 20 hours, somewhere in there, 18, 19, 20. But with kids, you definitely got to stop at least once or twice. However, once we were driving back, actually the last time, this was just last February or March it was, And the hotel overbooked when we were on our way back, and we couldn't find a hotel in the middle of the country. So we just drove all the way back home, and it was a nice 20-hour trip all the way back home in one day.
That's a long time in a car.
So I'll try to never do that again, though. But
You talk to, because we've got you sort of mentioned Europe there, and we've got some family in Europe, and we've been a couple of times. And when you talk to family or people in Europe about driving distances, it's their perception on what is a long drive is so different to us and to you as well, because obviously Australia is quite a big country too, so we've driven sort of 15-18 hours to visit my uncle and that sort of thing, whereas in Europe it's 2 hours to another country kind it's interesting. And then last one, again, something I'm a big fan of, and that's food. And it's interesting talking to people from all around, America and to some degree the world, to hear what your favorite sort of meals are and what you enjoy eating and what you typically feed to the kids, that sort of thing.
For sure. I'll start with the kid question, because that's pretty much just whatever they'll actually eat. A lot of the time, my oldest or my 4-year-old now, he's quite picky when it comes to food. So he'll just be eating French fries, McDonald's chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese. That's his go-tos right now.
Yeah.
And even sometimes that doesn't work. So the younger, the 1-year-old, he'll pretty much eat anything you give him. So that's pretty cool. So he's doing pretty well with that. Myself, I'm actually, I always say I'm not picky with food, or I don't have too many favorites. Number one is a filet. I love steak. I love a good steak, probably that medium rare to rare, kind of closer to the rare side, but, I love a filet, but there's no really specific food. I mean, when I was a kid, I was applesauce. I loved applesauce. I'd eat it all day. So that was one of my favorites. And now they make them in pouches, so I'll still eat them. I mean, everything, vegetables, fruits, and all meals. I like all different, different types of cuisines. Lots of French restaurants I enjoy, some good, like Coco Vin and some good things like that.
Yeah. No, I don't mind a steak. Growing up, my dad, I don't know if this is an Aussie thing or not, but because I know my wife's dad sort of does the same thing, but our steaks growing up were just cooked to death. So so it was well done. I don't know if there isn't another level above well done, but if there was, that was what our steaks were. So so we grew up eating really tough, dry kind of steaks, and you'd put sauce and stuff on them. So for me, that was how I cooked steak. Because that's what I was used to, but I have mellowed a bit. I wouldn't say that I'm as comfortable as you eating like a rare steak yet, but medium, I can do a medium. That's okay. But is that, I guess, is that an Australian thing, or is that just a lazy parent thing where you just cook it until you're really sure that it's cooked?
I'm not exactly sure. It might be. I mean, I know a lot of people here too just enjoy their steaks well done. I mean, obviously, usually the nicer steak restaurants, people are always thinking, you know, medium rare is probably the going thing. But I mean, growing up, I didn't even like any type of meat. I would stay away from all of it. I think I ate ham, and that was about the only thing that I could actually down. But yeah, once getting older and maybe actually being able to just have my own job and be able to pay for my own food and things, then I start venturing out to other things. Actually, that makes me think of scallops. I love a good scallop.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of those. And
any
seafood is all good too. So
All right. No, well, look, it's been a fun show. I'm going to let you head out. I actually have to start work for the day.
Not a problem.
People can see from the screen. You're on Twitter at Detz Keller. What is that? Detroit Scott Keller? Is that
what? That's pretty much where it came from. Yep. Yeah. I think I made it up probably, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago, and it actually stuck somehow. So I still have it.
So what have you guys got coming out? I know you're sort of doing weekly shows or when you can get on. It's not every week.
Weekly shows kind of throughout the summer. Steve's been taking the bulk of it through the summer and the off season while I've been with the young kids and whatnot. So I had him kind of, like I said, getting some people. He got in touch with you, and we just talked to Noah Rubin last week, and that was fun. I was actually out of town, and I was able to do that at lunchtime, so I got that one in. Weekly, trying to just kind of get our bearings and get some relationships within the fantasy basketball industry. It's been awesome meeting everybody. Everybody's very nice and warm and welcoming, so that's cool. And then we've also been doing a weekly WNBA fantasy show with Sports Ethos. That's actually what I have to do after this one. So I'm going to record that one for this week. And those are the main things. But yeah, we try to stick to the weekly stuff. I feel like it works out pretty well, especially with fantasy being a weekly type thing. And we'll probably do that continuing through the season.
Yeah. And obviously it's a quiet period at the moment. So not as many people invested, only the diehards that are listening and trying to get ahead of the curve a bit. So thanks for squeezing me in and finding some time. I'm sure we'll do stuff together during the season and leading up to the season. That will do it then for today's show. Remember to like and subscribe. Find me, as I said, at AdamKing91, at FBI Basketball is where our umbrella account is. Jump into our Discord server, which I think will be in the description of the show. All of our draft-only leagues have already started for next season. So if you are a bit of a degenerate and you've got nothing better to do, jump into a league there. But I will be back with another interview very soon. That will do for today. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.